Okay, so first question. What is theory?
What is theory? I would say that theory is sort of a way of describing something or looking at something. Theory is looking at it and not necessarily knowing if it is completely true, if it is exactly the way you describe it or the way that you perceive it, but kind of basing or forming a simple understanding of it based on what you see, what you do perceive, but respecting the fact that it might not be 100% correct. It's your own opinion.
So what is video game theory in relation to that?
Video game theory, I would say, could be a lot of things. Video game theory, in some ways, could be, you know, the art of making video games. It could be what goes into the video games, what makes a good video game. It could be what is a video game in its purest state. So video game theory, I would say, is a very open topic. It could be many, many things, in my opinion.
Okay. How do you think that theory sort of affects the work as it goes on?
Well, it really depends on the game. I mean, everyone's going to have different views and different ideas for the games they work on. That's probably the biggest thing. So, depending on what the design document is, what the goals are for the game, what they're trying to make it become, it probably varies a little bit. Everyone has, since it's a theory, everyone has those different views. It's not a law, you know, so there are differences, and there will be differences throughout it. So I think that's every game being unique. Alright. Whoops. Every game being unique, it's really tough to be super specific, I think, on something as vague as theory can be. So,
yeah.
To be fair.
So, do you think that, you know, as the discourse is going on through that sort of process, do you think that you're sort of reinforcing or eroding theory, or, you know, is it just both occurring, or, you know, what do you think is sort of occurring as, you know, as all those theories are sort of, you know, working themselves together?
Well, to be fair, I mean, it's like, looking at it from a theory perspective, I don't think necessarily anything being eroded or anything even being built. Things just kind of are. And as people, you know, build games, as they come up with their own ideas and design, you know, for them, it's one of those things where the theory of a game, of even gaming in general, is so open that no matter what the game is, it's not necessarily working for it or against it. It just kind of is part of it, I guess. So to say it would be eroding it is almost like saying that either it's bad or it's working against the theory of gaming. I don't know really how you would do that. To be honest, but I'd say either it's kind of either building it or just is, one of the two.
Well, there are certainly, you know, lots of people out there who would say that, you know, video games are very sort of rigidly structured in a certain way. I mean, there's lots of people who say, well, FPSs don't really have anywhere to go, or, you know, so how would you respond to those sorts of things?
Oh,
platformers don't have anywhere to go, what have you.
Yeah, I would say that years and years and years ago, people looked at the moon and said, oh, it's impossible, you can never go there, and now they're... Like anything in life, people will look at certain things and go, oh, it's impossible. Like, there's no way you can improve that genre. There's no way you can change that. I think that's ridiculous. I think, as we've seen with a number of games, Valkyria Chronicles is a great example, and one of my favorite games from Sega, a game that is a hybrid. It's not just like a Japanese RPG. It's not just like a strategy game, and it's not just a third-person shooter. It's all of those mixed together with real-time and turn-based. And so that's a great game, I think, to kind of showcase that there is no such thing necessarily as a game genre becoming stagnant. The only thing that ever becomes stagnant is the design ideas from the developers. And I think a lot of developers, however, are creative enough and unique enough that they're finding ways to push those boundaries. So the people, the developers that are able to do that are the ones that I think are going to succeed, the ones that really know how to revolutionize. You know, so that you look at any game that has kind of come out that has done that, and those are the big hitters. Back in the day, you had Mario and Sonic. Those are the two big competitors, and both of those games did fantastic things and were pushing the boundaries of gaming back then. You know, you had it again with Halo, by far, I think, with the first-person shooter genre. You know, so it's like every game genre has a sort of style that I think the front runners kind of build for it. But whenever everyone else gets in there and wants a slice of that pie and the games start becoming the same thing over and over and over, it's up to those really creative developers to come up with something new one more time, to keep pushing it, to keep finding new ways to make gaming exciting and interesting for the player.
How do you think interaction affects a game in terms of its theory, as opposed to sort of like, you know, film theory or music theory, you know, which also has sort of a limited palette to work with? How do you think interaction sort of is, you know, functions in that sort of theory?
Interaction, I would say, is pretty important. It depends on the type of interaction. And comparing it to theory, it's an interesting way to look at it. I would especially say that interaction, you know, both within the company itself and with externally with fans, is kind of an important thing. Interaction in many ways can change almost every aspect of a game, depending on how open-minded and how willing I think the developers are, you know, to change or adjust the game based on that. I'd say that interaction can play a pretty big part in that role.
What role do you think miscommunication takes in video games, but not just in video games, but in the development process? You know, how do you think it affects it negatively? Do you think it creates happy accidents?
Probably both. I'd say it's honestly probably both. You know, you have those moments where, like, I'm sure there's maybe a miscommunication from a developer, you know, or inside the developer, you know, to the publisher, or vice versa, whatever. And everyone goes, oh no, I can't believe that happened. But then you also have moments where everyone's like, oh wow, that was actually kind of, it looks better that way. That just keep it like that. And so in much the way that often genetic mutations that work for the better are quite simply mistakes, I think in the video game world can be kind of related to that sometimes. Like, it's like a lot of things in life I think are the same way too, where things happen by accident, but they actually might actually work fine and they're better for it. So that's what I'd say, both, probably.
Okay. Do you think that miscommunication comes across in a work? That you can actually sort of see this was a moment where, you know, a game was sort of being developed by two different people?
Yeah, sometimes. I think in the past there have been a couple games. I think EA did a game, and I'm not, like, dogging on EA here, but I think it was one of the games they worked on that was, they had two different development studios doing two completely different parts of the game. And so it's sort of like when you don't have something there to completely tie the theme of the game and the feel of the game together, what happens is they both become their own feel, their own entity, and it's sort of like you go from, you know, it's not quite as stark as, like, you're in Candyland to you're at the gates of hell. It's not quite like that, you know, but it's certainly to the point that you play one part, you're like, this is kind of a cool feel, this is a good feeling I've got, and then you get to the next part, you're like, oh, this is a little different suddenly, and I'm not sure why this is different, and I wasn't transitioned into this. And so that's the important thing, I think, is you can see that miscommunication if the feel of the game is drastically changing, or just it doesn't have that smooth, polished experience to it. I think generally as gamers, we're totally cool with, like, you can go crazy in games and completely change it up on us, as long as it makes sense to us, as long as we're still having fun with it. But if it's not fun, if it's really awkward the way it's presented, then yeah, that miscommunication might be pretty obvious.
So why not Candyland to the Gates of Hell?
Oh, you can do it. I mean, if the game is called From Candyland to the Gates of Hell, then by God, go for it. Make it happen, and I would buy that game day one. But if the game is called, like, The Happy Unicorn's Adventure Through Candyland, and suddenly I'm at the Gates of Hell, I'm like, no, I bought this game for my kid, and I'm not expecting the Gates of Hell to show up here. So, like, that, I guess that's what the comparison is. Sometimes it's a little different. If you're not expecting it, you know, so that can be the first thing to break that theme. The theme is probably the most important part. So
is there sort of an expectation to not have cognitive dissonance in a game?
That depends. That depends probably on the age of the gamers that you're making the game for, I would say. So, depending on the older gamers, quite possibly. Younger gamers, it depends. So.
Okay. What do you think the critical process is that occurs as people begin to analyze games and sort of take a step back and start to look at this and what we've created? Because I hear quite often that you know, people sort of get caught up in the work itself, and keeping a distance becomes more and more difficult.
Well, that's true. It's that way with a lot of things, though. In the same way that movies and music are very much influenced by, you know, your own life, it's very easy with video games as well. As you're making something, it's like any other work of art in the sense that you're putting a bit of your own soul into it. Like, you're putting a bit of your own personal feelings and what you've been through into this game, whether it's through the story, whether it's through the levels you're designing. Like, just every single part of a video game can be influenced by that. And so I think there are cases where, you know, people can become very attached to video games. The poor developers, I know, working at a publisher, I know that those guys work ridiculous hours. Like, sometimes, especially during crunch times, like 12-hour shifts, they sleep at the office and they work some more. You know, and that, that to me is full of frightening and also simultaneously impressive. But yeah, maybe in some cases, it's like anything in life though, where you can put too much time into something else and leave everything else off. So gaming is certainly, working in gaming is not the only way that can happen. World of Warcraft can do that to you, alcohol can do that to you. Like it's a total choice, I think, on behalf of the person.
Process of moderation.
Absolutely, yep.
Do you think that it's important for a game to present itself as sort of an object to promote discussion, or do you think that sort of happens regardless?
I think it will happen regardless. I would harken back to the early 90s, where I don't think the games were necessarily promoting themselves as discussion, they were promoting themselves as like really good games. And you would have the Mario versus Sonic debates on the playground, right? And there was always the Sonic kid, there was always the Mario kid, and those two would always like argue about which game was better. So the discussion happened, even though the games weren't trying to openly say, like, you didn't push start and it's like, hey, talk about this game at the playground with your friends, you know? That just happened as a result of the game being so good that you played it all the time. So, besides that, I would say, thank you very much to the lovely lady to our left who was trying to interrupt us. People are so polite here. I love it.
Yeah. Lovely.
See, that was probably... No, never mind. I'm not gonna make that joke. I'm gonna take the high ground here. I would say some games might use that as like a marketing, tactic to make people discuss them. Sure. But I think the majority of developers that I know anyway, are more concerned with making a game that is really good, something that they can be proud of. That's part of working on a game when you're putting your life into it. Is like, at the end of the day, you want to have that game on your shelf and be like, that is a good game, and people liked that game, and it got great reviews, and then it sold 500 million billion copies, and I'm rich now. That could be the nice, after effects, but more important to them is sometimes the personal feeling, Some people are different. Some people just look at it as a job, but I think a lot of people do appreciate what's going into it.
Okay. Do you think it's possible for a work to... I mean, this question was already sort of answered, but do you think it's possible for a work to not be, taken in? Do you think it's possible to just sort of look at it objectively for what it is? Or do you think that there's always going to be a subjective...
Well, it's tough to say. If you can objectively look at things like art and music, then you can absolutely objectively look at video games. Absolutely. I say that, knowing that a lot of people, with their life experiences, with just the way that the mind works, aren't always objective. Like, there's this natural bias that kind of exists within us, no matter what song it is, what beat you hear in the background, or the movie, what type of movie it is, or with the video game, what the content is in the video game. So, I admit, if it's possible for the others, it's possible for video games. If not, then maybe not. I think it's a question that I can't honestly answer, as I know I am not completely objective personally. If there are people out there that can claim to be 100% objective in every, review, rating, everything, that they do, then more power to you. I'm not one of them, apparently. I will admit, I have that little sliver of bias, but maybe 99%, but not 100.
Okay. A final question, also
yes.
Tangential, and I apologize for that.
It's cool.
Do you think theory is important?
Do I think theory is important? I would say in the same way that theory can be very important for everything else in life. Like we've already talked about music and movies many times, but yeah, I think theory in general is always kind of important. It's good to look at and to understand things as best we can, and I think in many ways that theory is kind of a gateway to that. So theory is a great way to kind of to look at things, to not only understand it maybe in one side by playing a video game or listening to music or watching a movie, but to also kind of look at it in a slightly deeper sense and to try and understand, what's going on with this media, with whatever it is I'm looking at. So, yeah, I would say it absolutely is.
All right. Stephen Keeney with Etchu Gamer and
Aaron Weber, community manager at Sega.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome.